This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it.
Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop. Hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
We just showed some of those denials from the president, from the vice president, Don Jr., about any contacts. Back in December, you also denied any contacts between the campaign and Russians. I want to show our audience.
Absolutely not. And I discussed that with the president-elect just last night. Those conversations never happened. I hear people saying it like it's a fact on television. That is just not only inaccurate and false, but it's dangerous.
Does the president-elect...
And it does undermine our democracy.
So it did turn out to be a fact. So who misled you, and why did Don Jr., Jared Kushner, and Paul Manafort allow those public denials to stand for so many months?
So as I understand it, George, some of the disclosure forms have been amended since that time and to reflect other meetings, including this one. I think that Tom Yamas, your colleague, put it best. He said that these were vague and ambiguous statements, that Don Jr. was not aware of the lawyer's name before he got there, and that the conversation quickly changed to what seemed to be the entire purpose of the meeting for that woman, which was Russian adoption. No information was received that was meaningful or helpful, and no action was taken. There was no follow-up whatsoever.
By his own admission, he sought the meeting. He agreed to the meeting because she was promising damaging information about Hillary Clinton. Isn't that, at minimum, an attempt at collusion?
No. And your colleague, Cecilia Vega, even said yesterday, as other responsible people have said, including members of the Obama administration under oath, there's no evidence of collusion. We're constantly
Kellyanne,
talking about
collusion. I have to stop you right there because, Kellyanne, that is not what Cecilia Vega said. Cecilia Vega was asked about that yesterday morning. That was before Don Jr. admitted that he sought the meeting to get damaging information on Hillary Clinton. That was when Don Jr.'s statement was simply that this was a meeting about adoption. That changed in the previous hours when he changed story.
And are you saying that there's evidence of collusion? Because everybody's trying to convert wishful thinking into hard evidence, and they haven't been able to do that. Let me get back to what you asked me about this meeting. I don't think you had to go very far, respectfully, to find damaging information or negative information about Hillary Clinton. She was a gusher at all times of negative, damaging information. Your own polling showed that a majority of the country didn't trust her at the time, that she had no honesty and integrity. I didn't have to look far as the campaign manager starting the next month to find damaging information. We would just quote her. People admit now she lit $1.2 billion on fire. She had no message that connected to America the way Donald Trump did.
Well, what a waste of time. I mean, they're just out there chasing windmills. I mean, they're Don Quixote here, just trying to find something, you know, and collusion is like, can we get rid of that word, Scott? Can we just take collusion out of the lexicon? Because that word has been so abused.
That's right there with transparency. I mean,
yeah,
exactly. If we're going to do it, let's start doing it in a way that makes sense. You know, let's start using the words how they're supposed to be used. I mean, what they mean. You can't, I mean, obviously you can change the meaning of a word, but, you know, collusion and transparency, these are things that you shouldn't change the meaning of. Mm-hmm. They, you know, and it's like she said in the clip, you know, it's wishful thinking at this point. You're just taking wishful thinking and trying to push it into something that's there. And, how much more of this do we have to do?
Well, as much as they can do in order to delay and obstruct and resist anything that of a positive nature that the Trump administration is trying to get through. I mean, you talk about nothing burgers. I mean, he meets with the gal for, 20, 25 minutes? I mean, so inconsequential that you think nothing of it, and then all of a sudden you realize, oh, gosh, they're looking at this, scrutinizing, so I better amend my report here because I got to really, you know, remember what it was that we talked about, what was being put out there. And, you know, if somebody came in and said, look, if we've got information on Hillary Clinton and, hey, you might want to, you know, see what's going on. But he determined right away that there was nothing there, that she wanted to talk about, you know, adoption. So a big nothing burger. But here it is, you know, trying to make it into something because It happens to be Donald Trump's son, and anything to resist and, you know, confuse the voter politic. But they're not getting fooled. This is Bill Martinez. We're live at 5 minutes after the top of the hour.
Ted Anderson telling you about Jordan Rubin's Beyond Organic Green Fed Raw Cheddar Artesian Cheese featuring whole milk created through ancient dairy breeding. Unpasteurized, untreated whole milk on the same farm the cows graze. Containing natural sources of omega-3s, CLA protein, calcium, probiotics, and enzymes. I have never tasted cheese this good, and you need to try it. Contact your Youngevity distributor or call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com.
Are you one of the 70% of Americans that want to own your own business, afraid to leave the security of your current job to pursue your dreams? I'm Pharmacist Keith. Dr. Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy, and myself want to show you a low-cost way to create your own business, working around your current job schedule,
most of us want to get this country back on track. I mean, no need to waste money. We've got enough waste and abuse going on in this government of ours and this bureaucracy. To get back on track would mean that we'd be a lot more effective with the money that is being put into these efforts. Health care, tax reform, you know, taking care of the poor, you know, on and on. We could be a lot more effective if we get this country back on track. I think at the height, 7 out of 10 said we're on the wrong track. I said, good observation. Now, what do you want to do about it? Now we're decidedly, I think, about 6 out of 10. Coming up next, in this next hour here, we've set this aside to talk about capital punishment and the Catholic Church's position on capital punishment. There's a new book out, By Man Shall His Blood Be Shed. It is a Catholic defense of capital punishment, from Edward Fesser and Joseph Bissett, and we're going to be talking to them this hour. Let me give you a little bit of the background here as we wait to connect with Edward Fesser. The Catholic Church has in recent decades been associated with political efforts to eliminate the death penalty. It was not always so. This timely work reviews and explains the Catholic tradition regarding the death penalty, demonstrating that it is not inherently evil and that it can be reserved as a just form of punishment in certain cases. Drawing upon a wealth of philosophical, scriptural, theological, and social scientific arguments, the authors explain the perennial teaching of the Church that capital punishment can, in principle, be legitimate, not only to protect society from immediate physical danger, but also to administer retributive justice and to deter capital crimes. The authors also show how some recent statements of Church leaders in opposition to the death penalty are prudential judgments rather than dogma. They reaffirm that Catholics may, in good conscience, disagree about the application of the death penalty and not necessarily be in some grave disagreement with the Holy See. Now, some arguments against the death penalty falsely suggest that there's been a rupture in the Church's traditional teaching and thereby inadvertently cast doubt on the reliability of the magisterium. Yet, as the authors demonstrate, the Church's traditional teaching is a safeguard to society because the just use of the death penalty can be used to protect the lives of the innocent, inculcate a horror of murder, and affirm the dignity of human beings as free and rational creatures who must be held responsible for their actions. By Man Shall His Blood Be Shed challenges contemporary Catholics to engage with Scripture, tradition, natural law, and the actual social scientific evidence in order to undertake a thoughtful analysis of the current debate about the death penalty. So we are standing by for Edward Fesser, or Joseph Bissett. They co-wrote this, and I wanted to set the whole hour aside so we could address these issues. You know, throughout the Bible, it talks about the death penalty and capital punishment. You know, some would go back and say, okay, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. You know, going back into the Old Testament, also might recall in the book of Romans, where God said why he established government and why there is a, you know, a civil magistrate, you know, to execute justice, to yield the sword, as the word of God would say, as that there is that time when the sword must be yielded and retributive justice must be exercised. And, you know, and that that is a deterrent from increasing evil and, you know, things that are not wholesome and not right for any culture. And this is why you have justification of death penalty. And I understand for some people, they say, well, when, how can you talk about the death penalty that you're going to, you know, kill someone when you're also on the other side of your mouth talking about, you know, talking about life and the significance of life? Well, we have our first author. We're going to interview both authors on this book. Edward Fesser is with us right now. By man shall his blood be shed. Edward, good to have you with us on Bill Martinez Live. How are you, sir?
Pretty good. Thank you for having me on the show.
Well, good to have you here to talk about the Catholic defense of capital punishment. I was laying out that, you know, in the Old Testament, eye for an eye, pretty well spelled out that there is justification for capital punishment. Even in the book of Romans talks about that, you know, why did God establish government and gave them the power of the sword to exercise judgment, right?
That's right. Romans 13:1 has always been considered within the history of the Catholic Church as one of the main scriptural sanctions for capital punishment. And it's also a passage that was understood by the fathers of the church universally to be a sanction for capital punishment. And one of the points we develop and make in the book is that the Catholic Church teaches as a matter of binding doctrine that where the fathers of the church, the earliest theologians, bishops in the history of the church, where they are agreed on some matter of doctrine, especially where they are agreed on the interpretation of Scripture, that the Church is not free to change that, and Catholic theologians are not free to disagree with it. So since the fathers of the Church themselves regard Romans 13 as being a sanction for capital punishment, this is something which in Catholic theology has to be regarded on the basis of the authority of the very fathers of the Church to be an unchangeable doctrine.
Has some of the softness and perspective, and I say softness, is just, you know, through experience, the Catholic Church, when you go back, I mean, you cite in the book going back to the fourth century, where Catholics, you know, did not hold back in wielding the sword. You know, judgment was executed, and maybe because there was so much of it, and over time, you know, people saying, hey, maybe we need to reconsider this position, and maybe then we were too harsh, and maybe the fulcrum has gone 180 in the opposite direction. Maybe we're just too soft on it.
Well, I think that what's happened is that you have a situation in modern Catholicism where the bishops of the church have to take positions which are highly at odds with the culture, where abortion is concerned, where homosexuality and same-sex marriage is concerned, where euthanasia is concerned. And it's very difficult to be in a position where you constantly have to be upholding teaching that is unpopular. So there's a great temptation for bishops to look for some area where Catholics can have common ground with the secular, progressive, liberal culture. And since in the church, traditionally, there's been a range of views on capital punishment, even though the church has always thought that capital punishment is legitimate in theory, there have always been some Catholics who thought in practice it's better to practice mercy. I think a lot of modern churchmen have latched on to capital punishment as a cause where they could finally find some common ground and not have to be the, you know, the sort of reactionary voice in the culture. And so I think that that's part of the reason why there's been this greater emphasis on abolishing capital punishment among churchmen.
Now, why did you and Joseph, this book, I mean, this is, you guys have done such a great job, you and Joseph, together in writing this. I mean, this wasn't something that was just done overnight. I mean, I mean, this is years of invested time and at a time when both of you thought that this was something that you needed to put together.
Well, that's right. It was the work of several years, 5 or 6 years, I think. Mm-hmm. And one of the great motivations, even though we both believe that capital punishment actually is necessary for the good of society and for a sound system of criminal justice, probably the deepest motivation for both of us was the desire to uphold the continuity of Catholic teaching, because if the church could reverse a teaching as well established as capital punishment, if the church starts saying that capital punishment is as evil as abortion or euthanasia, then you'd have this reversal of the teaching of Scripture of 2,000 years of popes and so forth, and it would undermine the whole credibility of the church.
We got to go to break. We'll have more on the other side of the break. Stay with us, ladies and gentlemen.
Lifetime Grace 100% grass-fed beef has the health benefits you seek. When compared to conventional beef, it offers good fats while virtually eliminating the bad. That's the result of cattle who never eat grain, ever. Rich in antioxidants, including vitamin E, C, beta-carotene, and CLA. No artificial hormones, antibiotics, or other drugs. For all our fresh, non-cooked products with only 100% grass-fed beef, go to MidasResources.com. Use voucher code GCN to get 30% off your order. MidasResources.com, or find us on Facebook. For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com and be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
Many books have been written regarding the law of attraction, but what if all these books are missing the most important information we can use when it comes to activating this law in our lives? The new book, It's Time to Align, the most powerful self-help book ever written by Alan Lottinger, takes a look at how the law of attraction really works and how it is being suppressed in our lives. Learn how to overcome this manipulation and how to experience alignment with the creative power of the universe. Get the new book, It's Time to Align, available at Amazon.com.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Are you happy washing your hands with harsh chemicals? Are you happy doing laundry with detergents? Are you happy paying high prices? Find your happiness with Pure Soap. These all-natural, earth-friendly Pure Soaps are the very best you've ever used. Buy in bulk. Get a 12, 36, or 48-month supply. Or get items individually and still save big. You're getting soap products twice as good as what you're using now. Earth-friendly and natural soaps. Your family deserves the best. Happiness is 5starsoap.com. Why not put your money up the drain for a change? See them at 5starsoap.com or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog. Cal Bend Soap Company can save you thousands of dollars and give you good old-fashioned real soaps that are triple concentrated. Soaps made from vegetable and coconut oils. See their full selection of soaps at 5starsoap.com. That's FIVESTARSOAP.com. Or call 1-800-340-7091 for a catalog.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Hey, D.C., there's still such a thing called the Constitution. Remember?
Finally, on both sides of the Atlantic, our citizens are confronted by yet another danger, one firmly within our control. The steady creep of government bureaucracy that drains the vitality and wealth of the people. The West became great, not because of paperwork and regulations, but because people were allowed to chase their dreams and pursue their destinies.
Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, it's Why You Like Me, fresh every day, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Welcome back, America. For more information, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. Drop me an email, Bill at BillMartinezLive.com. We're getting a little special treat today. This is a preview of a Friday section that we're setting aside to talk about a Catholic case for capital punishment, and Edward Faeser has agreed to give us a little preview into what we'll talk more at length come Friday. Edward and Joseph Bissett have written the book, By Man Shall His Blood Be Shed, A Catholic Defense of the Death Penalty. Edward focuses on theological and general moral issues raised by capital punishment, and Joseph Bissett focuses on various social science-related issues, for example, alleged racial discrimination in applying capital punishment, studies on deterrence value, statistics vis-a-vis innocent people on death row, legal issues, and so on. So we're going to take advantage of this time that is allotted to us from Edward. And Edward, I thank you, you know, for coming on. I had to cut you off just a little bit because we had to go to break. But I wanted to make sure that you had a chance to finish your thought as to why you and Joseph had come together to, you know, write this book.
Yeah, one of our concerns was the way that the opposition to capital punishment among Catholic theologians, Catholic bishops, and so forth, was getting more and more rhetorically extreme. And so whereas the Church certainly allows for Catholics to be opposed to capital punishment in practice, nevertheless, the Church has always thought that capital punishment is legitimate in principle, and this is indeed scriptural teaching. So when bishops and others make extreme statements comparing a capital punishment to abortion, comparing capital punishment to euthanasia, and folding it all into this culture of death rhetoric, it makes it sound as if capital punishment is something intrinsically wrong, and therefore it makes it sound as if the Church has reversed her teaching and is contradicting Scripture, contradicting previous popes, contradicting the fathers of the Church. And if the Church were doing that, she would really be undermining her authority in general. Because if the Church could change teaching on something as fundamental as that, if the Church could say, oh, well, we've been wrong for 2,000 years about capital punishment, then it would be reasonable for people to ask, well, what else might the Church be wrong about? So the implications of the debate over capital punishment are very wide-ranging and extend beyond just that subject. And so getting clarity on that was something that was one of the main motivations, maybe the chief motivation for our writing our book.
Mm-hmm. Now, was this idea, in terms of having this opposition, was rise given to this kind of conversation because of what Pope John Paul had said, and backed up by, you know, it would have been the next pope who was known to be in charge of the doctrine of Pope Benedict the 16th, Cardinal Joseph. What was the cardinal's last name?
All of a sudden, Cardinal Joseph Ratzinger. Yes,
Ratzinger, and what he stated that it was okay. Basically, he was speaking to the magisterium by saying it's okay to not necessarily agree 100% with the Pope. Did that give rise to some of the confusion?
Yeah, that's right. I would say that there was rising opposition in Catholic circles to capital punishment throughout the 1970s, but then Pope John Paul II's teaching on this matter, he took a special interest in the subject and was opposed to capital punishment. So his statements on this subject made it much more visible in Catholic circles and led to this kind of general acceptance among the bishops of the idea that capital punishment ought to be abolished. All the same, as you mentioned, Cardinal Ratzinger, who was at the time of Pope John Paul II's tenure as pope, he was the chief doctrinal watchdog and later became Pope Benedict XVI. In 2004, Cardinal Ratzinger himself, who naturally has authority to explain what exactly Pope John Paul II meant and so forth, he explicitly said in the year 2004 in an important memorandum that there could be, as he put it, I'm using his exact language here, a legitimate diversity of opinion even among Catholics about capital punishment, even though there could not be a diversity of opinion about abortion or euthanasia. So he explicitly said that Catholics could legitimately disagree on this subject. And he even said, once again, I'm going to use his exact language, that a Catholic could be, quote, at odds with the Holy Father, at odds with the Pope,
right,
on the subject of capital punishment, and still be worthy to go to Holy Communion. This was not a matter of binding Catholic doctrine. Instead, it's what Catholics call a prudential judgment. That is, applying moral principle to concrete circumstances. So John Paul II's judgment was that in contemporary circumstances, it's best not to apply capital punishment. But that's not a matter of moral principle. That's a matter of applying principle to concrete circumstances. And again, Joseph Ratzinger, then chief doctrinal watchdog and later Pope himself, explicitly said that it's a judgment that Catholics are not bound in conscience to agree with.
Well, it is one thing, as you say, in the exercise of capital punishment, it's not that as individuals we're doing it, it's an institution that is executing capital punishment. Whereas with abortion, this is individual responsibility doing this. Is that the clear difference here?
Well, that's part of the difference, but the even deeper difference is that in the case of abortion, we have his innocent life being taken. Whereas in the case of capital punishment, we have someone who's guilty, and therefore, as Pope Pius XII put it in the 1950s, the person guilty of a grave enough offense, something like murder, has forfeited his own right to life, just like he's forfeited his right to freedom. And that's why we can put criminals in prison, because by virtue of their crimes, they've given up their right to freedom. In the same way, if you commit a grave enough, a serious enough offense like murder, you could forfeit even your right to life. And Pope Pius XII himself said that. And so that's another difference, and really the key difference between abortion on the one hand and capital punishment on the other.
And you're saying in the book, you address this this argument that people will try to blend the two together and substantiate a position by saying, how can a religion that promotes life, on the other hand, promote death?
That's right. Well, yeah, these things are blended together, and they're often blended together in the name of John Paul II. But when people do that, they're going well beyond anything John Paul II ever said. John Paul II was quite explicit that it's innocent life specifically that is absolutely inviolable, not life in general. Otherwise you'd have to say that it's wrong to take anyone's freedom, right? Because that would violate their dignity as a human being. But it's not wrong to take people's freedom if they've deserved the loss of freedom because
exactly.
of crime. And in the same way, they can be deprived of their lives if they're guilty of a serious crime like murder.
Well, Edward, one final question as we wrap things up. I want you to kind of summarize in terms of the takeaway here, and I look forward to talking with you and Joseph on Friday as we get into more detail of your book, By Man Shall His Blood Be Shed, A Catholic Defense of the Death Penalty. What is the key takeaway here that you want for Catholics?
The key takeaway, I would say, for the Catholics in particular, is the continuity of the Church's teaching, that the Church has not changed her teaching on capital punishment any more than she has on abortion or the doctrine of the Trinity or anything else, and that the statements of recent popes, including John Paul II and Pope Benedict XVI, if you read them very carefully, you can see they have not reversed teaching on this, and the Church does not teach that capital punishment is in itself an immoral thing.
Exactly.
It can in some cases even be called for.
Well, Edward, great job to you and Joseph Bissett on the book, By Man Shall His Blood Be Shed, Catholic Defense of Capital Punishment. The book is available at all the usual places, I take it, right?
That's right.
Okay.
Amazon.com particularly.
Okay, and do you have a website that you want to direct everybody to?
Sure, yeah. If anybody is interested in looking at my website, it's edwardfaser.com. My last name is F-E-S-E-R, so edwardfaser.com, and that'll give you all the information you need.
Well, again, thank you so much for sharing with us. Great insight. Look forward to talking to you further come Friday here on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you so much, Edward Fazer.
Thank you.
Excellent, excellent read and study and conversation. So we'll get into it deeper on Friday. Thank you for being with us. I'm Bill Martinez. It's just about 29 minutes after the top of the hour. Stay right where you are. We've got more coming up.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360.
There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360. That's 1-800-359-3360.
Everything you've heard about or read about regarding identity theft is wrong. There are dozens and dozens of companies out there claiming that they can prevent identity theft or that monitoring your credit file will help you prevent identity theft. And I'm here to tell you, it's simply not true. It's a scam. No one can prevent identity theft, and I mean no one. Credit monitoring will not alert you to 80% of the fraudulent issues that can happen to you. Friends, there's only one company that has the solution to identity theft. That's my friends over at Liberty ID. Liberty ID fixes the damages caused by identity theft. In fact, they've successfully restored the identities of over 60,000 individuals without fail. Call my friends at Liberty ID today to see if you've been compromised. If you're on your cell phone, you probably have been, and my friends at Liberty ID will let you know if you have and what you can do to fix it. Call right now, 844-44-LIBERTY. That's 844-44-LIBERTY, or visit them at libertyid.com and use discount code GCN at checkout.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Just the way you like me, fresh every day, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. Welcome back, America. 20 minutes before the top of the hour. Steve Moore joins us now, along with Steve Forbes and Larry Kudlow and Art Laffer, I should say. They're co-founders of the Committee to Unleash Prosperity. They advised the Trump presidential campaign on economic policy. Steve, how you doing?
Hi, Bill. Great to be with you.
Hey, excellent. Well, I'll tell you, I was really encouraged the last time we talked, because we were talking about the energy sector and what the administration and Donald Trump's vision for this country is. You know, we talked about being energy independent. You said, oh, Bill, how about energy dominant?
Right.
Yes.
Right. We can do this. We can become the new Saudi Arabia of energy production over the next century. By the way, Trump used that exact phrase.
Yes.
In his speech last week on energy, it got a little overshadowed by, you know, media didn't pay a lot of attention to it because they're, you know, obsessed with all these anti-Trump stories. But he has the right vision. You know, we can produce American oil, gas, coal. We have more of this stuff than any other country in the world. Instead of, you know, buying $200 billion worth of this stuff from the rest of the world, we could actually be selling. And by the way, there's a great story in the Wall Street Journal this week that you may recall, Bill, about 2-3 years ago, we had a big debate about whether to allow the export of American oil and gas because there was an old 1970s law that prohibited American exporting oil and gas, and we repealed that stupid law. And by the way, we had to, you know, drag Obama kicking and screaming to sign that bill. But now we're seeing, you know, tankers leaving every day with American oil and gas, exporting it all over the world. It's a great thing.
See, what is this going to mean for America's poor?
For America's poor?
Yes. What is this? Yeah, how does this translate? Well, I mean, I just see this as, you know, something that they've just got to be burning novena candles, thanking God for right now.
Yeah, it's a couple things. I mean, first of all, it means more jobs. And these are good paying jobs. You know, the oil and gas industry jobs, they pay $75,000, $80,000, $100,000 a year if you're a pipe fitter or a welder, or, you know, you're the trucking industry benefits a lot from the rail industry benefits a lot from this. So, steel jobs, you need steel to build the pipeline so we can transport the oil. So it has reverberating effects, throughout the economy with respect to good paying jobs. The other thing is just, you know, the more energy we produce, you know, this is a basic law of economics. When you increase the supply of something, what happens to its price? It falls. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the low income families that need air conditioning and heating in the summer and, I mean, the heating in the winter and need to provide, you know, electric power, their utility bills are falling because we've got cheap and abundant energy. The big game changer has been natural gas. The natural gas price has been so low that it means utility prices for people are really falling dramatically.
Well, Steve, you know, Art and the rest of you guys, when you look at the economy and you look at the sector, it is a bit of a bell curve, and that which helps the rich seems to correspond in helping the poor. And this is what the Democrats and the liberal secularists have promoted, is they only see one side of it, and they don't see that when the wealthy are helped out, when they're doing better, the poor do better. Is that consistent? Am I reading this correctly, or am I reading too much into this?
No, you're right. And then the problem with all these stupid climate change deals that the left wants to get involved in, they want to tax energy, they want a carbon tax, they want an energy, oil and gas tax, they want these schemes to make energy more expensive. Well, that's a regressive tax. You know, mm-hmm. Look, you've got these rich billionaires like Tom Steyer, who's funding a lot of this green energy, you know, initiatives. That are going to make you people pay 20 or 30% more for their electricity bills. You know, if you're a billionaire and you have to pay 20 or 30% more for your utility, you know, is that going to affect your life? No. But if you're living on a $30,000 income, you have to pay another $12,000 a year for utility. Yeah, that is a major impact. And so,
exactly.
You know, these green energy policies that are trying to shut down American natural gas and coal and oil, they are hurting poor people more than anyone.
Without a doubt. Well, what's going on with the Republicans? You and Larry and Art and Steve Forbes wrote the article, which, you know, I tell you, many conservatives and Republicans, you know, on the outside of the Beltway are wondering what the heck is going on. Why are Republicans part of the impedance to tax reform?
Yeah, it's a great question. You can sort of sense some frustration in my voice because, you know, for 3 months we've made no progress on this tax bill, and the economy really needs it. Now, Bill, we just got, you know, literally 30 minutes ago, a great jobs report for last month, mm-hmm. and we got about 220,000 jobs, which is a good number, and then we got another, you know, pickup of about another 30,000 jobs for previous months. So 250,000 jobs, that's not bad for 1 month. So the economy, you know, I think Trump's policies, you know, and just the optimism that he's brought, you know, in terms of being pro-business and pro-jobs and pro-America are helping the economy. But it's going to need, you know, some sustained help. You can't just, you know, you need the animal spirits, but you also need policy changes.
Exactly.
And so I think that tax cut has to happen. I'm frustrated that it's not happening faster. I'm frustrated that Republicans in Congress are not feeling a degree of urgency, because they should. And I believe that Larry Kudlow's been saying this too, you know, no summer recess or vacation in August until they pass a tax cut and a repeal Obamacare.
And you got more congressmen agreeing with that statement. They're willing to stay home, stay in the Beltway. Let's make this happen. Let's do the hard work, 18-hour days, whatever it takes, right?
Usually I don't like it when they stay in the Beltway.
Yeah, I understand.
I really like it when they go home. But in this case, where you've got two must-do items that have to pass for the good of the American economy, you know, there's no excuse for not getting this done now. And if it takes, you know, taking away their, you know, August recess, then, you know, maybe we should also take away the air conditioning. That'll really get them going.
Oh, yeah. Boy, that's another story, let me tell you. Steve, you know, it makes you wonder that if they don't get this right, and without having some sense of urgency here on health care and tax reform, they're going to be in trouble come 2018. And last time I checked, the pages off the calendar keep getting ripped off, and we get closer and closer to the midterms.
Good point, you know, and this is exactly the point we've been making, is not only is the, you know, you're right, it's only 18 months away for the midterms, but also, you know, if you want the economy stronger by, you know, by the by the midterm elections, you got to get the tax cut done now so it has some time to settle in and really, you know, get the jobs in the economy that people are hoping to see. It's the reason that people voted for Donald Trump is they wanted to see an economic revival. They wanted to see jobs brought back. And it's going to take time. You know, it takes about a year or so for those tax cuts to really kick in.
Exactly.
And so get it passed now so that by November of next year, people go, wow, the economy's really improved. I'm going to vote for Trump and the Republicans.
Yeah, the same thing with health care. How long is it going to take for that to really kick in? I mean, because we know that some of the things that with Obamacare, it's going to take a couple of years for them to get through the process. So the discerning advantage of any new legislation for health care, it's going to take some time. And I'm not sure the people are going to understand, you know, because of these delays, it just moves the realization of the benefit of any kind of new legislation down the road, potentially past the midterms, and they're going to be exposed as if they did nothing.
Well, that's exactly right, and that's why the clock is sort of ticking against the Republicans now. They've got to move with more urgency. You know, and that's what the American people expect. You know, that look, this is why we elected them. They've told us for years that they're going to repeal Obamacare and they're going to cut our taxes. Well, now it's time for them to deliver. They now have the political power to do that. They have a House and Senate majority as well as, presidency. Now, look, they have a slim majority in the Senate. They only have 52 Republicans, so that doesn't give them a lot of margin for error, Bill, but that means they got to all, you know, they got to hang together here or they're going to hang separately.
Exactly. Well, Mitch McConnell threw a warning shot over the bow of their boats to say, well, you know, you can either deal with us or you can deal with Chuck Schumer. What do you want to do?
Well, unfortunately, I mean, look, I wish that there were an option where we could, you know, try to make a bipartisan deal with the Democrats on Obamacare. But unfortunately, Bill, there isn't. The Democrats, for two reasons, you're not going to get a single Democrat that will vote against Obamacare. That's their, quote, signature victory. And that's a sad thing when Democrats have view Obamacare as a victory. But also, the Democrats made it very clear from since November 8th that they have no interest in cooperating with anything that Donald Trump wants to do. Now, I think that's sad because that means they're putting partisanship, their own party, ahead of their country.
Exactly.
And what's good for workers. But that's the mode of thinking they're in. So, you know, I'm a friend of Mitch McConnell. I think he's a smart guy. But I think in this case, to believe that somehow you're going to get votes on the Democratic side of the aisle,
you're not going
to
happen. Exactly.
Happen.
Steve Moore on Bill Martinez Live. Thank you, Steve.
Are you married? Do you and your husband both have term life insurance? If you both don't, you should. You have a lot to protect. Call now, get a free quote for your husband, and while you're at it, get a quote for yourself too. Because you both need term life insurance. Call now. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. Rates are at all-time lows. We'll shop over 30 top-rated companies to get you the best possible rates. Term life insurance. It's the perfect way to protect the quality of your family's lifestyle. You and your husband both need term life insurance, so call now for a free quote for the both of you. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164.
Are you looking for senior care for your mom or dad but don't know where to start? Hi, I'm Jen London with A Place for Mom. Nobody knows your parent or loved one better than you, and nobody knows senior living better than the experts at A Place for Mom. They've helped thousands of families find the right place for their mom or dad.
I was so glad that I called A Place for Mom. My advisor really listened and was truly my partner in finding senior care for my dad. She went out of her way to get to know him as a person and was always there whenever I had a question.
The senior living advisors at A Place for Mom partner with thousands of families every month, listening and offering local knowledge and advice to help find the best senior living communities across the country. And it's a free service. Here's the number.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360.
There's a place for answers, A Place for Mom. Call today.
Call A Place for Mom at 1-800-359-3360. That's 1-800-359-3360.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And a crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Ralph, remember when you said you were going to start paying more attention to your health and now you're eating potato chips?
Just a few.
A few, okay, but you should be eating Superberries Aronia Berries.
Aronia what?
Aronia Berries from Superberries.com. They're known for having one of the highest levels of antioxidants that helps with overall wellness. Go to Superberries.com/radio. And right now we get a free smoothie recipe book with our order. Plus we can save $4 at checkout.
Wow, look at all the benefits of these berries.
I know, Ralph, I know.
Choose health. Eat purple. Superberries.com.
DC, there's still such a thing called the Constitution. Remember? Bill Martinez, live.
It is 14 minutes before the top of the hour. Welcome back, America. Bill Martinez here. James Herson joins us now. New York Times bestselling author, commentator, media analyst, and law professor. James, how are we doing after the day after?
Hey, we're doing great. I seem to be fully recovered. How about you?
Hey, I'm like you. You know, anytime we can show off red, white, and blue, why not? And we've been encouraging the audience that it's a good time to remember. You know, just like the, first of the year, usually, we, remember to change out the batteries in our smoke alarms. I think days like what we just had, 4th of July, is a time for us to pause and remember our Constitution. How invaluable would that be?
Oh, sure. It's America's birthday. You know, and while we're remembering the Constitution, we also should always remember the Declaration of Independence.
Exactly.
Because that's our birth certificate, and those are the principles upon which the Constitution was built. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, it's a great opportunity. It's kind of like a combination of Happy Birthday, USA, and Thanksgiving for our freedom. You know?
Exactly. And here's the reason why we celebrate our freedom, the Declaration of Independence, exactly. You can't have one without the other. It's hand in glove.
That's right. Yeah, well, it still has legal import.
Without a doubt. And I would say to all the millennials, I think one of the biggest disservices that has been done to you in some of these public schools is that they've ignored the significance. I mean, this is the reason to being. Unless you understand our foundation, then you find yourself thinking there might be a better way than freedom that our founding fathers spent years and years to hammer out. It wasn't like all of a sudden they got together in some dark back room somewhere and all started singing all 56 verses of Kumbaya and everybody agreed that this is the way it was supposed to be rolled out, right?
Oh, no. There was a lot of disagreement, but they agreed on the fundamental principles. And one of the main fundamental principles a lot of Americans don't understand. I don't believe our president totally understood it in the beginning when he got into politics, but I think he does now. Mm-hmm. And it's the basic idea reflected in the Declaration that rights and powers come from God.
Yes.
And that they are transmitted to government through consent, through what is called a social contract. That's the Constitution. That's why it begins with the words, we the people.
Exactly.
It gives limited power to the government. as we see fit in those enumerated powers that are in the Constitution. It's really an amazing, inspiring philosophy that we have.
Well, it's a beacon to the world, James, that freedom reigns. It's here. We make the enunciation that it is, you know, God-given rights that we have that the government cannot take away. But we leave ourselves vulnerable as more and more people in this secular society say, you know, I don't need God.
Well, yeah, it's true. And as they preach to us moral standards that can't exist in an atheist universe, they tell us you don't need God, when in fact, without a creator, they would not have the ability to have the world be intelligible. It's a very interesting dichotomy, but it accounts for the division we see in the nation today.
Well, and the thing is look at I understand we need to wrestle and have earnest conversations about these issues, but you look at the empirical evidence, this country, that there's been no other country like this country, a constitution, a declaration of independence, to overcome the number one fighting force on the planet, to, for it to come into existence, this great American experiment. And even our founding fathers, George Washington, go on down the line, had to admit that it was by the hand of divine providence. It was not by some happenstance sort of luck. These men, whether or not you want to argue they were deists or some other form of religious belief, the fact of the matter is that they did agree that there was a God, and for them to stipulate that God existed, that the rights that were given to us were by God, not the government, that says a lot. But it also says a lot where we are today as a country, that after all the blessings, the many blessings that we've come through here since our origination some 241 plus years, after all the blessings, we have the audacity to tell God, thank you very much, we'll take it from here.
Yeah, that's why I've loved the speeches that the president has made the last few days. And it's so refreshing, particularly at this time of year, that what he was doing was talking about just what you did, about the exceptionality of the United States of America, about its contributions to the world in what is should be objectively a positive light. And it's refreshing because, his predecessor went around the world making speeches, putting down this country, denigrating our history, denigrating our people, making the country into, the source of evil in the world. I mean, ridiculous. Mm-hmm. But that's the left, and that's what they do internationally around the world. Mm-hmm. They attack these notions that happen to be true, that right. America is exceptional.
Well, I think our former president picked that up directly from the sermon notes of one Jeremiah Wright. That's what he preached. That's what he, sat in the pews for some 20 years listening to. So, he speaks the words of his mentor. James, set that aside for a moment because I want to talk about your latest column, and that is this media love fest that used to take place between Joe and Mika toward Donald Trump. I guess that's, where has the love gone, huh? I hear a song there. Yeah, there's a lyric there somewhere.
Yeah, really, where is the love? it's what's amazing is in the so-called Twitter war, that everyone's talking about, and generally Donald Trump's use of Twitter, the latest tweet involving a CNN, taking the old wrestling video, putting CNN, and these people sanctimoniously claiming how this is appalling and beneath the dignity of a president, seem to forget the fact that with Joe and Mika, when Trump was a candidate in the primaries, he was on that show more than any other guest. As a matter of fact, Joe and Mika were getting criticism from the elite saying that they were basically in the Trump camp, mm-hmm. that they were trying to help Trump, blah, blah, blah. And then also they forget Joe Scarborough was talked about as a possible running mate for Donald Trump. Do you remember that?
Yes, exactly.
It's like, and the guy encouraged it. Joe and Mika did a town hall. They hosted a town hall event for Trump. And all of a sudden, they started these negative articles appeared, especially after the town hall, basically attacking Joe and Mika. I bet their social calendar started to suffer.
Exactly. Well, you don't go. You're not invited to those cocktail parties, you know, and you know that's very disturbing to the psyche.
So they find themselves in this position where, you know, they got to get back in the good graces of the media elite of the Washington Post, the New York Times. So all of a sudden, it was like a 180. Scarborough puts out an editorial, and he starts saying, this is still during the campaign, Trump doesn't have the ability to win this election. And Trump, of course, he's used to this kind of betrayal, but how does he respond? He started with his Twitter account. That's when the Twitter war started. It was when Trump was a candidate. Then, after the inauguration, around February, they started really with the name-calling. You know, Mika said that the Trump administration was a fake presidency. She banned Kellyanne Conway from the show. She said Kellyanne Conway is a purveyor of politics porn. Then Scarborough started saying the president suffered from dementia. He's a dope. A thug, a goon, Vladimir Putin's hostage, referring to his anatomy. I mean, it was just unbelievable. And this is the thing, and you know this, Bill. I mean, the president, before he was president, when he was a private citizen, when he was a candidate, he's always defended himself the same way. And, you know, the first lady said, when hit, her husband's going to respond by, quote, hitting back 10 times as hard.
Right, exactly.
American voters, 63 million of them, chose a president who fights back. And there's a reason for that, because Republicans haven't for a couple of decades.
Exactly.
And his family's been subjected to these smears, vilification, this mockery, and just repeatedly. He's going to fight back.
Yeah,
and that's the way it, and I think he sent a very important message. No one else is fighting for him, so he's got to.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that was my question, is who's covering his six? They need to have somebody in there doing this stuff. I mean, you got guys like Donnie Deutsch saying, oh, he wants to go Queens on him and take him to the playground. And remember, Joe Biden during the campaign made a statement that he wanted to take him behind the barn and teach him a lesson. God, could you imagine 270-year-olds duking it out? I mean, it'd be a pay-per-view event. We could make a lot of
Oh, God, would it? Yeah, it would be going back to when Geraldo fought Frank Stallone.
Yes.
I mean, that'd be a great event. I'm sure Howard Stern would want to be, you know, the referee.
It would be
an event. No doubt about it. But the fact is, you know, there's a few people in the media. One is Sean Hannity. There's people that are standing up for the president, but they're in the minority. The media is at war with this president.
That's why many of us want the president to keep tweeting, because it kind of evens out the fight there a little bit. Hey, James, we got to leave it there to everybody's imagination. Of course, the tweets will keep on coming, and God save the queen. Why not, huh?
Absolutely.
James Hurston, I'm Bill Martinez live. Thank you, James.
Thank you.
One nutritional secret is that due to soil infertility, plants are not making the percentage of mineral sugars that they did before the advent of chemical agriculture. These mineral sugars are measured in the juice of a plant. The more sugar, the more minerals, proteins, fatty acids, vitamins, and phytochemicals. According to some experts, these mineral sugars are what activate the DNA of our body to be efficient at making protein. Due to an absence of enough of these mineral sugars in our plant foods today, our bodies require 40% more protein. One World Whey is a technologically enhanced whey protein food that can supplement the protein needs of your diet. It is easy to assimilate and it tastes delicious. However, its most attractive feature is that people from ages 3 to 80 are having phenomenal improvements in health. People are reporting vast improvements in energy and well-being that last for 4 hours or more from a single serving. Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
The answer to being